At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose. And I am your host, Edna White. This is the podcast where you hear about all our issues, real talk, about real issues and struggles in our life, our relationships, and of course our business. And guess what? All on purpose. Because we want you, as the audience, to know what it really takes to live this life with work-life balance. Again, I am your host, Edna White, and today our guest is none other than Lo Wentworth. She is a business owner, an author, a speaker, a podcast host, and a life coach. And she is going to just wow us today on what she does. Welcome to the show, Lo.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I want to know, and I know the audience wants to know, how do you show up in the world?
How do I show up in the world? Well, if some of you know astrology, and this big three is your sun sign, your moon sign, and your rise sign.
Okay.
Your rise sign is how the world perceives you. And I show up as a Gemini. And then also coupled with human design, I'm a projector. So when I'm out in the world and in flow and in my energy and playfulness, I'm playful, on fire, having fun. But there are also sometimes when I'm out in the world, I'm like, I just want to be. Like, I'm just going to walk around the block. And I'm just going to exist here, kind of like in hermit mode. So it's kind of interesting in that fact, and also honoring myself that if I have to go out in the world and I'm not feeling like 100,000% playful, open, low, then that's okay.
Yeah.
I still want to go out. I still want to enjoy life around me, but I might not want to participate or be on stage fully.
That sounds like my son, my youngest baby, and I will tell you, he is 31, so that sounds exactly right. He loves to exist, and if he exists chill, he's chill. If he exists loud, he's loud, but he wants it on his terms, so. Yes, I love how you explain that. That is beautiful. And I guess that I'm going to have a conversation with you about all of that, what you just said, because I want to hear more of that. I want to hear more of what, you know, how we show up, like you said it. That was really, I have never heard anyone say that before. Even astrologers have never heard that say that. That's really great. So I know that you're an author. So tell me about, and tell our audience about your book.
Well, I'm in the process of writing a book. So this year, I started reading a lot of romantic comedies,
uh-huh.
a lot of or romance novels, period. They are on the smut side.
Uh-huh.
And so I was going through that, and that helped me heal my relationship with myself and my body.
Okay.
I experienced sexual abuse young.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been a challenge with me, with opening up to relationships on across the board.
Gotcha.
Because it was like, I distrust my body, so how could I trust what my body was telling me when I'm around all these people and energies?
Right.
And I've also known that I've wanted to write my own memoir and personal development book.
Mm-hmm.
But as I'm going reading through these romantic comedies, I'm also being like, why are the 30 to 35 year old women not represented?
Mm-hmm.
One. And two, this would be a perfect opportunity for someone to work through some of their issues with their relationship with their body and their intuition
right.
without reading a personal development book.
Right.
And so this has been cooking for a while, because when I went through yoga teacher training, we read a book that said how yoga worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a story. It wasn't what, like, a traditional, like, the
instructional like, yeah, manual. Works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like this. It wasn't mm-hmm. like, I worked with my clients, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
Just going through and bringing it. So it was like you owned some of the aha moments.
Right.
That you realized with yourself. And so that's what I'm currently writing on.
Wow. That sounds so good. I know how it is. I'm also a childhood sexual abuse survivor. So I know how that is about, you know, owning your own body, owning your own space even, and being your own self, you know, figuring out all of that. So this is going to be really good. I can't wait to get a copy of that, to hear about how this transpires, how your story transpires. I really like that. So tell us, as you developed in your you know, writing this book, you talked about childhood sexual abuse. What's one thing that you kind of want to put in the book to share with your audience?
Really what the reclaiming process is.
Okay.
And it's the reclaiming of your body. It's the reclaiming and healing the relationship with yourself.
Got
and
it.
Really being kind of honest with it, not mm-hmm. sugarcoating it and being like, oh, I went to therapy and then I'm fine now. It's like, no, like the thought. Being, like, for example, I don't sleep very well at night, especially mm-hmm. if the door is open.
Right.
The door needs to be closed because
right.
that is a survival mechanism
mm-hmm.
I created when I was young.
Yep.
So it's just going through and giving those specific examples, but then also showing, well, how do we rewire that?
Yeah.
How do we retake that so in the future I'm okay with sleeping with the door open because it's not survival.
Right.
It's not triggering
right.
me in that fight or flight mode.
Right. And that's really important. I like what you said, because we do take a lot of habits that we survive on, you know, and I know for myself, I have that same habit, you know, keeps, you know, the door's got to be shut. And if I hear a noise, I'm up, you know, if I hear a creaking or something, I'm up. I'm like, my eyes pop open like immediately. So it's unlearning that. And that's really good. I like that part that you shared. That's really good because I've met a lot of people who've written books, you know, about their recovery. I don't want to say they're thriving or their process to thrive from a survivor. And I rarely see what it takes to come out of that, what changes you have to make. I hear the triggers, you know, all that stuff that kind of triggers all of us that read it, but I don't hear or I don't read the fact that you know, the solution, you know, this is what I did to change this step by step by step. And that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a life coach now. So now as a life coach, are you taking that same method or system or process to your life coaching?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us how that looks?
So what that looks like, and I walk my clients through healing the relationship with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step is always like getting it back into their body and doing something that helps them rebuild their trust with their intuition.
Gotcha.
And I have a podcast that I'll share with you and your audience later when it releases that goes in even more in depth on this like 5-step process.
Right.
But that's the first process.
Right.
And when you get reconnected with your body and you're trying to reconnect with yourself after you disassociated, mm-hmm. one of the also things I teach my clients is getting back to basics.
Okay. Something and, simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So something simple that you did in your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, an example, while I was in law school, I realized just how disconnected I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat back and I was just like, well, what did I do growing up? Because growing up wasn't that great for me. And I know I had different things that helped me get through it. Well, I had basketball. So, all right, something athletic, working out. I was working out. It still wasn't completely there. I still wasn't completely whole enough yet.
Yeah.
And then I realized, what else did I do? And there's mm-hmm. a rule in our household growing up that my mom had that was, if we did anything athletic, we also had to do something on the arts side.
Yeah.
So that included band, choir, and then eventually I negotiated to have art class.
Mm-hmm.
And so since I had that, I had these two different polar opposites. It was art and then athletics.
Right.
So then I just brought art back in. And I was either coloring or getting a bunch of paint and canvas and just doing a bunch of abstract stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I noticed when I had that balance, then I was feeling more myself and full enough again.
Right.
So that's what getting back to basics is you're taking something from your childhood and you're bringing it back to your life as an adult.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in those two things matter. You know, whatever happened with your inner child, your smaller child, is actually acting out in your adulthood. So I'm a firm believer in that, and I often teach about that. That's very important to go back to. And funny you said that, because I have a granddaughter who's 6, and so she loves, you know, dancing around. And so we have a trade-off when she comes here. It's like, you can do this, but I want you to do this. So she always has to draw for me. She always has to give me some, you know, beautiful pictures, you know, and put on her creativity hat. And she loves it. You know, now she thinks she's the chef. She'll say, I'll cook. You know, she's only 6. And I'll cook. You know, she wants to make the macaroni. Show me how to do it. You know, show me how to do this. So she's in that creative mode that I love. And that's important. Would you say, as a child, so as an adult, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we never really truly grow up. When
Absolutely
the pandemic
not.
First happened, I moved back from the Philadelphia area to Iowa
mm-hmm.
because I had space. There was a lot more space here, a lot less people, and all of that condensed energy for me. And I was at my grandparents' house, and I took advantage of that the whole time. I asked questions just about random things. And one mm-hmm. of them was to my grandmother. I go, when do you actually feel like an adult? Like, when do you feel like you've grown up?
Oh.
Uh-huh. Mind you, she is somewhere in her 70s.
Okay.
She doesn't like it when people know her actual number. And she goes, I still don't know. So internally, I'm like, well, crap. If my grandma, who is a major role model in my life, who I actually think is an adult, doesn't even feel like
an
she's
adult.
Grown up yet,
mm-hmm.
and she's helped raise children and grandchildren, well, then I'm screwed and whatever. We'll just go on.
Then I'm screwed.
Yep. And so that's when I really started with, like, the inner child work and bringing mm-hmm. that in. You
mm-hmm.
know, how I talked about earlier, like, when I'm on stage, I'm very playful, and that comes from my inner child.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel whole enough when I'm also doing the playfulness and bringing that
right.
into my life instead of being, like, in hermit mode, being like, I'm here just existing.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that you said we never grow up. Because I feel the same way. The longing that we normally have in our lives, like we'll say, I don't know what to do. Like I hear clients, and now I know what it is because you just said it. I hear clients say to me, Edna, I'm retiring from this job for 24 years, but I don't know my purpose. And I'm like, okay,
you know? And I'm like, so now I know what it is. It's the longing that you have never grown up. And that tells me, now, what have you done creatively? Well, I've only focused on my job. Like, I said, what do you like to do? I forgot. They usually say, I forgot. Like, I really put it to the back burner, and I don't even know if I could do it anymore. So I was like, I think it could, you know, because I've tried everything that I had put on the back burner. I put it on the front burner and did it. So I was like, oh, I did that. Okay, good. I don't want to do it again, but I did it. Like, okay, this is not what I want to do, you know. So now you're telling me that that makes sense. That makes sense, you know, that we're not being creative. We're not having fun. We're not having fun.
Mm-hmm. It's very important to have fun. I mean, that's what the whole purpose is starting, so I don't get, and those around me don't get to when they're like 65, ready to retire and being like, well, what did I do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
You were just on the, I call it the hamster wheel of death.
Yes. Yeah. The hamster wheel of death.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're on this continuing process and you're trying to achieve something. Yeah. And then you're supposed to start living in your latter years of your life instead of your whole life.
Yeah. The hamster wheel of death.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm, you know, you see me writing it down. Audience, I'm writing it down. Hashtag this. The hamster wheel of death. Hashtag it. Because that's definitely great information. Not having fun is the hamster wheel of death. I love it. So, tell us, Lo, about now. Let's talk about, like, what your business looks like and how you're building it out. And if you can give us any insight into, you know, the process.
Mm-hmm. So how I'm building my business is I knew early on that I work well with teams. I work well with collaborating. Like, and I also work well when I'm able to reassign tasks so I don't have to do them. And that's also goes into more about learning the human design energy type of a projector. Like, mm-hmm. if I have to do admin stuff, that's going to drain the energy that I'm allotted for the day.
Mm-hmm.
That I won't be able to use to be doing podcasts or writing content or writing my books. So the creative outlets.
Okay.
But when I first started, I thought I had to follow what everyone else was doing, and that was doing it all on my own. Working at a 9-to-5, then coming and then working on my business, figuring out what it is that I wanted to do for my podcast, what my niche was, all of that. So I was reaching burnout. And then I took some time off of pursuing the life business and a podcast because I was just burned out because I didn't have enough space in my day to just be journal, write, connect with myself.
Okay.
So when I started that healing journey of getting that, releasing what I thought I needed to do or who I thought I needed to be in order to become who I meant to be, when I okay. restarted my podcast and my business, I automatically hired a VA. And that has been a lifesaver to me because that's been so easy just sending off the admin stuff or just other stuff that I'm like, can you do research on this? Like, I mm-hmm. need to know different topics, different things, or like how to put something on YouTube.
Right.
And can you just research that for me? Because I know I'll spend an hour, and that hour would be better for me writing content, just drafting contact.
Gotcha.
Like working on my business instead of in my business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite thing. I was working so much in my business that I never worked on it. And then when I hired a coach of my own, a marketing coach, then I was able to see that I had to build out my team and build it out that I had to hire people to do the things that the CEO doesn't do. So I wasn't, even though I guess I was pretending to be the CEO, and I wasn't the CEO, I actually became CEO when I started creating my sales team, when I hired my sales team, when I hired my administrative assistant, when I hired someone to do marketing, when I hired someone to coach me, when I hired people to work with me in workshops and things, different.
I became the CEO then. So it looks different. It looks really different when you become, you start working on your business. And I think, audience, that's what we have been talking about, is we're encouraging you, and I think Lo is encouraging you as well, to work on your business. That's the secret to the sauce, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's giving out those assignments, those projects, or whatever you need, mm-hmm. so that you can work on your business and actually do what you love.
Right.
Instead of feeling like you're just getting the quote-unquote shit sandwich, as yeah. Elizabeth Gilbert and Big Magic mm-hmm. says, all the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That sandwich doesn't taste good at all after a while. I tell my clients, I says, you know, I asked them how many years they've been in business. I said, oh, you've been in a basement for years, huh? And they're like, what? I was like, you have the foundation. You've been walking around in the foundation for a long time, but there's no house built. So you have no doors, no windows, no, you know, framework, no nothing. You have no walls, no nothing, because you're not working on your house. You're working in it. So you're in the basement. And they were like, wow, yep, I've been walking around in this gray basement for years, not trying to build it up, make it look nice, and really make it work for what it was built for. So that's great. So what is the favorite part in your book that you have you gotten to that section yet? But what's the favorite part of your that you'd like? Your favorite?
I haven't really got that section.
Okay,
That section yet. It's still in the rough draft
phase. Okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm really enjoying the process because writing has always been easy for me.
Yeah.
It's always been that space where I could express myself, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. no matter what was going on.
Right.
I didn't necessarily have a journal growing up, but in English class, like, any assignment we got was literally, I put my emotions into it and just released it. Like, there was this one poem I had one time,
uh-huh.
I remember it, in eighth grade, and the night before it was due, or that rather the day before it was due, mm-hmm. I got severely bullied about my body.
Okay.
And so I just wrote this whole poem, how I was feeling in this whole poem, like it was not a fun poem to read, but it was great to get my emotions out. And afterwards I was
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
Little did I know, when I showed up into that class, that teacher that day decided that we were all just going to read our poems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here not paying attention to anyone else's poem, right. although I feel bad for the guy who had to go after me, because I'm like, we're not ending on this depressive note.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we're doing that. So I read the poem. The whole room got silent. I didn't even look at my teacher when I handed the poem in, because mm-hmm. I would have cried. And I noticed a shift after that, because and how my classmates were treating me. They weren't, the bullying had left
right.
for a while. I mean, I've been different my whole life. Like, that's a whole nother podcast in navigating what I call being the black sheep.
Yeah.
But it was also interesting, because then some of them will come up to me and just be like, really, you felt that way? Like, yeah, I felt that way. And some would be like, well, I felt that way too. I'm like, yes, middle school is not easy. So why are we crapping on each other the mm-hmm. whole time?
It's true. It's true. Yeah, that's a whole nother trauma stage there, the black sheep, and then now middle school. That's a whole nother drama. Yeah. drama, you know, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So, yeah, I could see that being, you know, part of what you do. And I could see that in your book a little bit. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, how can we find you? How can our audience find you on social media?
Yeah, so on Instagram, my handle is the.naked.life.co.
Okay.
And then I also have a podcast called The Naked Life.
Okay.
And the tagline is, where stripping becomes a way of life. And that's where we're taking the advice of Shrek, and we're stripping away the layers of the onion mm-hmm. to get to who the core of who you are.
I like
and
it.
And what that looks like, and how to navigate that process, instead of being you know, the example I just gave in a podcast that was released about when you forgive someone, when you say, like, I forgive Sally, in your body, it doesn't feel great. It mm-hmm. feels wrong because you're still angry, but yet you desire to forgive Sally. Right. So what's something, a phrase that will support you in your journey of forgiving Sally, but also honors where you're at?
Right.
And it's like, I'm willing to forgive Sally.
Right.
Nice. I'm just willing to forgive. Nice. I'm not there yet, but I'm willing to, whatever right. that looks like.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, audience, you've heard the information. I know that you can reach out to her at lowentworth.com. If you want to ask her a question, you know, about this podcast, or just want to find out more information about her, you can do so. Now, this is at the end of the show, and we really appreciate you being here, Lo. Is there any parting words that you'd like to share with my audience at this time?
What comes up is always trust yourself.
Yeah.
No matter how hard it is, just always trust yourself.
That's good. Yeah, always trust yourself. That's really, really good. Because we don't always trust ourselves. We don't always know what to trust. And that brings us to the end of the show. Thanks for listening, our audience. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it about on social media, or leave a rating or a review. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at EJW Coaching. Thanks again. And we'll see you next time. This is Edna White, your host, and my guest today, Lo Wentworth, saying bye for now.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.